Is that too heavy? Is it okay? Or yeah, it's good. Yeah, I was told maybe my voice is getting bigger. Well, today I bring to you a message that is a theme, faith, and I titled it Faith, True Faith. Jesus is calling. True faith. At these days, we need the faith that really can stand the tests of the times and the things that we face today as God's people. That is what will determine whether we stand or we fall. And I will begin with the types of faith that really are estranged to the Christian faith and are not part of it, and the Bible condemns them. And we should not be associated with them. And they are written here for us so that we avoid that types of faith. And this faith we read of in Acts chapter 8. And if you have your Bible before you, turn to chapter 8 of Acts of the Apostles. I will be going through a few verses as I see is the type of faith that has really bad ramifications or bad consequences more than other types of faith that I will tell you about as well. And this type of faith is the faith that I call here intellectual faith, a faith that is only in the mind, in the head, that is not changing the heart and influencing the heart. And this faith is the faith of someone in the Bible called Simon. Simon is a man we read of in chapter 8 from verse 9. A man who was practicing magic. He was possessed by demons. And all that he was doing by his magic is impressing people. And the Bible says in verse 9 that this man, he practiced sorcery in the city and amazed not just a small group of people or part of a section of people. Just the Bible says all the people of Samaria, all the people of Samaria. That this man was so full of demons and tricks to the point that everyone that was saw him, the things that he was doing, he was amazing people. And this guy, the Bible says he amazed people. So he boasted that he was someone great. See, he was boasting to be someone great. And that is the nature of those who would just want to accumulate knowledge about the Christian faith. And even some of them are professors in seminaries. Some of them are leading pastors. Some of them are leading teachers of the Word of God. Some of them are scholars filling our libraries with books that are just full of unbelief that denies the character of our God and the work of Jesus Christ. Even some of them deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, what they call bodily resurrection. That is parcel to our true faith that we can call authentic, and a faith that can bring us on our knees, a faith that will make us servant, slaves to Jesus. I promise and I pray. Next week I will show you a video of a Christian woman from Egypt, an Egyptian lady. She was a single lady, and the Lord called her back to South Sudan in a place called Meridi. Meridi. My father actually went there for three months in 1983 to develop languages across South Sudan, because my father was a teacher. And so this lady, she went there and she works in an orphan. And then she came back to Egypt and she was getting married. And I believe she was getting married over 50. She was over 50 or late 40s. Maria. And the kids gave testimonies of the influence she had on them. They made a video, and that video was broadcasted at the church in Egypt. Egyptian, many of them. They were not understanding the language of these kids. They were speaking in local Arabic and some in English, but it was translated. And the whole church was packed just to witness the wedding of this righteous woman who heeded the call of Christ and went there. And then the young man who came to give some words, his name was Emmanuel. Yeah, so, and he spoke to the whole congregation. I don't want to disclose it altogether. That is a bad way to do things, isn't it? Yeah, but I leave the rest for you, just to leave you in suspense. So we are having some movies here. So this man, he was just wanting, and I brought these things because of humility that the true faith reflects. That is why I told just that story. And so Simon, this man, he was claiming to be great. And all the people, both high and low, rich and poor, educated and illiterate, they gave him their attention and acclaimed. This man is the divine power known as the great power. So just walking around the city, great power. Just imagine, if you go in the city and people say, oh, this man is a great power, and you call yourself to be a follower of Christ and a servant of Jesus Christ, you hit Christ and you appear. John the Baptist said, may I decrease and he increases. Jesus Christ is the one that is above all. And at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess him. All people cry glory before him. Even Apostle Peter, he wouldn't want to be hung like his Savior. He wanted to be hung his head down to say, I'm not worthy, even to be humiliated the way he was humiliated. I should be humiliated even further. So this man was followed by many people in the country, because he had amazed them. See the repetition of the word amazement. Be aware of to be amazed of amazement. Those who amaze us, let us check whether they amaze us. So if you want to check this, because I think we have a type of people like Simon also who are very intellectual, would want to check everything. So in case if you want to check this one, the word amazement comes in verse 9 and came again in verse 11, they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. He didn't amaze them with anything else, just magic, demonic force of darkness that only to keep people in darkness and in sin. That is what he was amazing people. So that is why you don't want to be amazed by those who want to keep you in sin. And there are many things that can keep you in sin and darkness, even fashion that is made in such a way that you will be held in sin. There are a lot of things, type of business that can hold you in sin. Those who will amaze you. Do you see that advertisements that say, like, you do if you want to make money? You see, it's very impressive and can amaze you how people can make money in a short time. This is demonic and this is magic. This is demonic, this is magic, and should not be practiced by those who call themselves Christians or followers of Christ. Now, the Lord provides, isn't it? He will provide. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He will provide. So this man who amazed people with his magic, but when they believed Philip, because Philip, this apostle evangelist, came preaching the word of God, the true power of God. And so this, what happens, like many people, he preached the good news that Jesus came into this world and those who put their trust in him shall be saved. And as he preached, the Holy Spirit was working. Many people came to faith, came to Christ. They believed in the name of Jesus Christ and they were all baptized, men and women. Even Simon himself believed and was baptized. That is what Simon did. But this man didn't actually believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not delivered from his demons. This faith didn't save him from his activities. He wanted to continue to be impressive, to impress people. So Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great things and miracles he saw. He was astonished by the miracles. He followed, not because he found Jesus, but he followed because he was astonished by the miracles and the signs that God was displaying. And during that time of preaching of the word was accompanied with power, and people were getting healed. The sick people and the blind, their eyes were opened and their hearts were really opened to God. And they were worshiping and praising God. But this man, he was just like that. So I skip from verse 14 to verse 17, but I give you a brief summary of these verses. So the apostle in Jerusalem, because you remember in the Acts of Apostles, as the apostle, they moved from Jerusalem to fulfill the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ that the gospel will go out into the entire of the world, beginning from Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and into the entire world. And so now the church back in Jerusalem heard that even Gentiles are receiving the gospel. And so they sent John. So they heard that the people accepted the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them, and to come and to pray for these people. Actually, this could be a study. Is that a second time blessings, or people, when you believed, you are safe and you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the disciples of Jesus Christ, they were following Christ, but on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the disciples, when they came, because the Bible says, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, yet they believed, you see, like this man. And I believe because they believed, they were able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, when Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, but Simon didn't receive the Holy Spirit because he didn't believe. So you believe in Christ, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you go on being filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's not one time's filling. We need to go on. You need to make sure that you are being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Even when it is hard, believe and trust that you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you could see now, we have the evidence in the Word of God that Simon didn't receive the Holy Spirit. That is why in the next verses, and from verse 18, when he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." See, this man, he wanted to receive the Holy Spirit so that whoever he touches might receive the Holy Spirit and amaze people. And he will continue to be called the great power. But he didn't know, even the author of this Spirit didn't want to come into this world to amaze people. But he came to be the servant, to do good and die the shameful death on the cross of Calvary, that those who believe in him shall not perish, but receive the power of the Holy Spirit and go on believing in God and being filled with him and break away from magic and the kingdom of darkness. But this man, he wanted to impress people, to amaze people, because his faith was only intellectual and also was just like interested in impressing people and amazing people to be a cool guy. See, how many cools who are there are today? So they impress us even the way they do things. You see, you can go around. I think they stick something on my collar. I was going to make it like this. Look a little bit. And certain shoes, you see, you walk differently. You speak differently, you see. No. To be just very, very normal. Very normal. And still be a spirit-filled Christian. To please God. Because the good faith is the faith that pleases God. So this man, that is what he wanted. And he will be condemned, and even his character will be further revealed to us, why his faith is bad, why it's not really the faith of the gospel. So that was what he said. He wanted to have that as a gift, a personal thing, a personal things. He didn't know that. That power was not coming from the apostles themselves, Peter and John. He didn't know. He didn't know the one in whom he believed, if he believed correctly. But Peter and John, they knew. Because, you know, Peter was called when he was fishing, isn't it? When they were fishing the whole night and they couldn't catch anything. And Jesus used his boat to go a little bit into the ocean so that the people were just like really coming closer to him, and to the point that he was unable to preach. And so he used Peter's boat. And then as he preached the word of God, as he finished, he asked Peter to go deeper. And they had that big catch that filled two boats. And then when Peter realized that there was something heavenly, he left everything and all his business. So this man, Simon, he was not leaving everything behind like Peter. And this Peter, he knew in whom he believed and who he is proclaiming to the people. He knew that is the one who can only change, only your heart, who does not only change your heart, but change even your career and all your life together and your directions, like Maria, this Egyptian woman, who went to live in jungles in South Sudan for the sake of Christ. So this man, see, not to leave you in suspense, see what the apostle says. Peter said this, verse 20. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you. May your money perish with you. Your money, we don't need your money. Your money cannot transform our lives. Even if your money can buy us mansions, mansion without Christ our Lord is nothing. Mansions. Said, may your money perish with you." So he is destined to perish. Because that is what he shows for himself. He fixed the history for himself. And many of us, we are responsible for our own decision. If we choose to live in such a way that does not glorify Christ, so we fix the final verdict for ourselves. So he was told that you be perished because, this is the reason he was given, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. This power that we display, or you think we are displaying, you think you could buy it when all the wealth of this world put together can never buy the gift of God. And God has to give it because no one could afford it. No one could afford it nor deserve it. That is why he was so condemned. He was told, because you want to buy the gift of God. It's just like a friend of yours giving you a gift at Christmas time. And then you are wondering, how much would this present really be worth? And then you think, oh, this might be really very expensive. And I just feel for my friend. So my friend must have used all his fortune to buy this. And then they say, oh, how much was this? And then they may say, oh, no, you it's okay. You see, it might be something you cannot afford. Maybe 10 million. Is it impossible? Well, the rich people, they give gifts in 10 million, isn't it? But not everyone can do that, isn't it? Well, even this one, even far greater, glorious than any figure that we can put. No figure. You see, no figure. Because there's nothing that can quench the anger of God against us to the point where we can bring anything against him or for him to appease for his wrath. Apart from the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb. Because you thought that you could gain the gift of God with money. And that type of faith has no part in God's place, in God's house, in the body of Christ. That is thus by proclaiming the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, by witnessing to the dying world, by doing good things, that is, speak of God. That is why, that is what Peter says here in verse 21. You have no part or share in this ministry, in this ministry of the proclamation of the word of God and the pouring, outpouring of the Holy Spirit over those who believe. Maybe we need like maybe some meetings where we just deliberately pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. I was tempted really to call the church today to exercise this and to open up ourselves before God. Say, fill us, because this is how he answers our prayers, isn't it? You don't need to do anything more than to ask, isn't it? Or you think you can do anything? No, 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 nothing. You open your heart and believe in by faith and you receive. All the things we get from God are just we are recipients only. We open our mouth on the accounts of the work of Christ. He has opened the way for us. And that is why he invites us to ask and seek and knock. He said, come and drink without anything. So this man, he had no share in the ministry. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if it's ineffective in any Christian gathering, maybe we are people who just have knowledge in our heads and want to impress people and amaze people. Let me keep going. Now, he was told a further story why he cannot share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Your heart is not right before God. A heart that does not sanctify God. A heart that does not think that we are only to come in humility and in repentance of our practicing of magic, of unbelief, sin, living in bad relationships, washing bad things, and involved in bad businesses, having the wrong friends altogether, and also being politically correct. So this man's heart is not right because of the things that he was just like believing, that he could have power and continue impressing people and at the same time having Jesus as an addition. The other day I was speaking to a friend, even yesterday, so they have in Dubai this multi-faith center, and so everybody is there. All faith really lead to God. Even that kind of association is very intellectual, because there is no true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can mix the Christian faith with other faith and think it is all right. No, it is not all right. There is only one way to God. You say, and one Lord, and it's Jesus Christ. And there is only one source. And then through one source that we receive the Holy Spirit. And so he was called to repent. Repent of this wickedness. So this man is not a divine power. He's a wicked person. And all that he practices are wickedness. And so he was told, repent, and then repent, pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. Perhaps if you truly repent. But even this man, he is unwilling even to repent. He wanted someone else to repent on his behalf. That is why he says, oh, you pray for me. Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. He is fearing the consequences of his actions. When he is not lamenting the fact that he sinned against God by thinking that he can buy the gift of God. So this is not his concern. His concern is the consequences of the punishment of God. Well, some of us really maybe come to church and became Christian because they fear the consequences of living with bad people. And I see that. It's something logical, isn't it? Those people who go to bad places, the dangerous places, you might be wise enough not to go with them, but that will not save you. You can only save your body from being killed, isn't it? Because bad places, really, that is why you're here, being in the wrong place and wrong time. Is a public saying, isn't it? Or a famous saying, being in the wrong place, wrong time. But God's people are not even to be in the wrong place. And maybe some have come to that realization. Or maybe Christian people are very loving people. You see, very generous, very kind, very forgiving. And I want to be part of these people. You see, yeah, it might be a noble thing to do, and that will save you just for a while. But that will not please God. So he was told to repent, but even he wouldn't want to repent. Because Apostle Peter knew very well that if he repented, he could truly, he will be forgiven. Because he knows the Lord himself forgive him to forgive. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many Samaritans. So you have heard this first thing, and the other ones are really very short. But this is a major thing that is causing damage in the church of Jesus Christ. People just having only information, having the right, really, knowledge about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit. But that is not safe. And we see Simon as an example. The second one is a short-term faith. Short-term faith cannot help you to be an authentic Christian. Short-term faith. And what is this short-term faith? Can you put up Luke chapter 8? And you know the parable of sower. Sower of the seed, the word of God. And then the Bible says that the seed is the word of God. And the sower is God himself sowing the seeds. And then you read this. And then in the explanation of the seeds, we have three categories. The meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are those who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word of God, the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. So Simon was not believed and saved. And so we have also this type of people who have short-term faith. Maybe they differ with Simon's in some ways, because the Bible says here, the second group, those on the rock, and this is my example, those on the rock, the seed that fell on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They received the word and they were so excited, as if they have believed. You see? No. The Bible says these people, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And that is not what the Lord wants. He wants us to have the word, to receive it with joy, and to go deeper with the word, and to just rejoice over the word, and to read it over and over. How many of you have read a text and you keep coming to this text again and again, until these words from the page get into your heart, and you are strengthened by these words, and you are filled even with the Holy Spirit as you read this text? And then as you go on, you will be built up, so that when the testing comes, when you are challenged to go wrong, and there are many ways in which we can go wrong, isn't it? Going against a brother, mismanaging money in public office, boasting about your position, being bossy at your work. So as a Christian, so that is what the words, the faith in Christ meant to you, that you are not to be just a person who believed only in the church, but when you are tested in the real life, in the real world, so the church is a real life as well. Oh, I wouldn't say that. Because some people say in the real world. So every world is real, you know. I don't use those examples. They're very bad. Life is life. It's real all the time. Whatever we do here in the church is a real life. Whatever we do in other places is real life. And so things may go bad. You may go sick. You may go bankrupt. You are called upon to hold fast to the faith that brings joy to your heart. Even in the midst of your struggle and suffering, you can be joyful. But here, this type of faith that is called, they believe for a while. And I call it a short-term faith. A faith that is not really helping you. You are not growing. You are not growing in the Lord. You are not growing softer in your heart. You are so hard. Because as the intellectual knowledge cannot help you to honor Jesus and to fall at his feet like Simon's. You just want to impress people like this. This also, you just want to feel good just for a short time. And then you don't want to hold fast to this. to this faith. And then when the testing comes, you fall. It's just like a house that is built on what? On a sandy ground. Because it has no roots. It's not built with precious stones. It's not built with the word of God. It's not built through denial, self-denials. It's not built through acknowledging Christ, the Lord of Lords, the one who humbled himself. That is why Philippians 2 should really, you should write it on your neck. Jesus, though great, though God, he emptied himself and he became a slave. That is what it means. He humbled himself, became their servant. And servants are not conscious of whoever they are, only to finish the work of the Lord. So this type of faith is not good. And we are told the good one is the one falls on a good heart, a heart that acknowledges Christ and humbles themselves and go on in humility. Even though things are happening, shows God turned them. You see, how many of us are escaping really hard things just as we put our trust and faith in Jesus? Just do like that. Just keep going. Don't be like Saul when he was just like fearful and then he assumed a role that was not his. Many of us can do that. Just wait. Even if your breath is taken, just wait on the Lord. That is the true faith, that the faith that goes all the way to the roots. The one that falls on the right heart, that fell among thorns, stand for those who hear. But as they go on in their ways, they are choked. But the seeds on good soil stand for those with a noble and a good heart. A noble and a good heart. A heart that feels God. A heart that acknowledges him and acknowledges Christ and crowns him the King of Kings. And as he calls, you can go. Even if you are going to just stay in a small island just for the sake of testifying to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce crops. They produce fruits. That is what Peter and these guys are doing. Now, number three, the faith, and this will be very quick. The faith that is the doctrinal, I call it doctrinal. Doctrinals. Traditionals. These are traditions. Yeah, so you are taught catechisms, maybe things like that. And Westminster Confession of Faith. They are not bad. But if that is only what you have, well, your faith is only doctrinals. Cannot save you. Cannot save you. It's not a saving faith. A faith, and so what is the text, Daniel? It's James, isn't it? James 2:19. And this faith, the Bible calls this faith of demons. Because the demons, they have their knowledge. They know who God is. You see, they know. They know the Bible. The devil quotes the Bible to Jesus. In Matthew 4, as he was tempting, he quotes, what? Psalm 91. Go there. This is what the word says. In case you want to check it. And he could this. He knew the devil was like trying, if you trust God, this is what will happen to you. If you make the Most High your dwelling, verse 9, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you, your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guide you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That was what the devil was telling Jesus, isn't it? You will tread upon the lions. So the devil is so knowledgeable. So he. This is the faith that I call the faith of devil. And so you know everything. And so this is how you've been taught. You believe that there is one God. God, even the demons believe that and shudder. So that is one. That faith that based on or knowledge, faith that is doctrinal, traditional faith, you know this. The devils, they know this. They know the character of God and what he did. Number four, dead faith, faith that is idle, faith that does not go out to show the fruits of this faith in actions, in real world. So what is that? It's James 2:20 again. James 2:20. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? So it's useless faith, dead faith, a faith that is not of the gospel, because the faith, the true faith of the gospel, really is manifested in good works. You see, because the Bible says we are created in Christ before the foundation of the world for great things God has prepared for us. Every single Christian who is saved is called upon to serve the Lord by all ways. And so, you know how, I don't know, I cannot preach or I cannot teach the Bible. Because some people, they think that when you preach this, you are an authentic pastor, Christian. Or if you teach the Bible, you're a Christian. But when they fail completely in reality to show true Christian character in love, in humility, and in self-abasement and sacrifice for the sake of the Lord, this type of faith is dead, the Bible says. Because this faith and the work that we are looking for, even it's not just to be busy in the church. The works that are like that of Maria, that woman who just denied herself and went all the way to live in conditions that are not really conducive for civilized people to live in. And yet you could see, because it's not where you live, it's who you believed. Even those kids, when they were sending their messages, after that, the church really, they stood up, the Egyptian church. And this church in the Qasr Dubara, just behind the Tahrir Square, near the American embassy, is the church of the affluent Christians in Egypt. People were multimillionaires. And they stood up because they could see a life of Christ lived by these young children in these jungles. That was speaking of the character of Jesus Christ. And Emmanuel, this boy, their delegate, really revealed it to the people. And he blessed people. And the people were melted. And one lady shared that video. And many people were pouring praise in and thanking her that they shared that. And many, even young children, even one girl said, a young girl, when they went back, they said, this is the type of life that we should all live. And so here James is saying he believed, but he says, this faith that cannot sacrifice anything for the sake of the Lord, for the one who has given us everything. He left the whole universe, the heavens. Every good thing is stored in heaven. So Jesus here, through the Spirit given to James, is saying the faith that will not be displayed in good deeds that speak of his character is not faith. It's dead. And now, let me finish with this faith, that this faith, the best faith, and then this faith may encompass all the good parts that I have spoken about. The faith that was opposite to faith of Simon, the faith that believes that everything from God is by grace and grace alone. And there's a gift, I do not deserve it. It comes to me at the account of the death of Jesus Christ. That is the faith that the Hebrew will say, is the faith that pleases God. And also this faith, the faith that is revealed in the heart that received the word, the seed that fell on the good soil, you see, that retains it and perseveres in that testing, you see, you stand. But because this house has been built on the foundations of Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets. My one of my favorite sermons, isn't it? Build your life upon the foundation, the faith of the apostles and prophets in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. That is the faith, because Jesus himself, he died on the cross for us. He came, he left, he shared. And now this is the faith that we should all crave to have and to retain. The faith that is manifested in good works. A faith that is not only doctrinal and head knowledge. The head may think, but the heart burns, you see, for the glory of God and the dignity of Jesus Christ. who has humbled himself. The faith that Hebrews is telling us is like the faith of Enoch, the man, even the Old Testament saints, who walked with God and pleased God and didn't see death. He was translated straight away into heaven in a parachute, isn't it? Like Elijah. And so, well, be aware. Some of you may experience this. If Christ has to return now, we'll be caught up with him. We will be like Enoch and Elijah. See, so everything is possible. Believe and trust God. So we are people who are living in the supernatural realm. Supernatural. And if you don't have this attitude, so you are left behind and you are lost. The centurion, why his faith was great? Because he acknowledged the fact that Jesus was acting in the supernatural. He himself, why Jesus said it was his faith was so great? Why he said that? Because this man, he said, I am a man under authority. I know, I say to this, go and come. I know how the order works. Even on the human levels, on earthly levels, how much more the one who is acting in through the supernatural, Jesus Christ. Send a word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus was amazed. How come you know this? How come you know that we permit every barrier? Because God here on earth, and that is the one you believe in, who can permit all the hurdles just for you to know his amazing love for you. You can cry out in a time to Jesus and to save you. Repent. That was what he was told. Repent. You access his blessings and his forgiveness as you repent and acknowledge him. That is the faith that we are told, the faith that pleases God. The faith you believe that it does exist. 11. This is the faith that we are called to have. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, earnestly, and not seeking to impress people or to amaze them. Enoch in chapter 5 of Genesis was not found. My friends, what are you doing? What is your faith? What is the type of your faith today? To press it upon your heart. And I want you really to learn this completely. And I want to just repeat them. Intellectual faith. Simon, you read this in Acts 8 from verse 9 to 23. Go home and read it. Pray over it. That is the problem why the word is not changing us. We know how to digest food, isn't it? You put the food in your mouth and you chew it because you want the nutrients, isn't it? So this is the same thing. You chew the word. Chew the word. Turn into a prayer. When you turn into a prayer, it will not be a word anymore. It will be a spirit. You may remember it, unless it is only an intellectual knowledge. You see, the word will disappear because Jesus said, my words are a spirit. So they acknowledge you in faith. You might be bad, feeling bad yesterday. Well, your security does not depend on the circumstances, even your emotions. We are told like, one of the things that I used to ridicule long time ago, the psychologist, because I studied psychology for 4 years as I was training for teaching. They say things that will cause you trouble, so avoid them. And I would just say back, I say, how would you know that this thing will cause me your trouble? Because it will cause me trouble, you see? Because you are confronted with something you didn't invite or you didn't prepare for. See, that is what they say. You avoid them. How do you avoid them? So the Bible says we may not avoid them, the testing. The testing will come, isn't it? The trouble will come. But what really will defend us is the faith that is rooted in Christ. So when the testing comes, we shall stand because we have been rooted in him, in Christ. So what are you doing? What is your faith? So you need this. It's not just only head knowledge of Simeons and want to be impressive and amaze people. No, want to be nobody. But what is your influence? Our people are crying like these young children. And this lady also, she was touched by the love of these people. So the true faith is a faith that will not just amaze people. It's a faith that will leave a mark on the life of the people. It's a faith that really touches people's lives. Even your deeds. Sometimes, you see, some of our people really, you know, like when I was growing, I'm a newer man. You see, the newer people, if you're just passing by and you are having food and you say, welcome, please come and eat, there is a certain way you say this so that they know that you are truly inviting them to food. You wouldn't say, oh, do you want to eat? They will never come, even if they are starving to death. Do you want to eat? They say, oh, please, yeah, well, you get up, you see, and then you just grab them and you say, oh, please. And they know that they have been really invited, truly. They know that. So that is a faith, because even when you give something to someone, may this gift generate praises to God and a holy life. That is the true influence. Our service for people. You know, I attended. Just give me 3 minutes, please. In Africa, we go for 4 hours. I know food is waiting there. So we have watches, but we don't have time. That is the issue. But I'm conscious also that we have elderly people. So you see. When Rhonda Price was getting married, so we went all the way to Castlemaine, isn't it, to attend the wedding. We were fresh in the country, maybe 3 years only. And so as we were there, there was this short man with his son who's so big. And what happened was like, this man, I was chatting with him, and he was telling how Rhonda for many years, maybe 20 years, has influenced them so much. Because she would just travel all the way and come and tutor these newly arrived people, migrants, to Australia to help this boy who was 9, and now this boy is 33, very tall. When she said this, there was just something moving my heart, and I couldn't hold myself. I wept. And now she was just like, oh, I went outside. Oh, I was just so touched. Because this ministry touched these people so much, was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I came back and we were just shouting. I just couldn't just hold myself. I just went out again. Yeah. You see, so just aim at touching people's lives. That is a true faith. It's not just a faith that is so idle. You see, just do anything in the Spirit of God. And don't you do it just so that you get the praise from the people. It's just only to praise Jesus and let him praise you later on. I said to you, one of the things that really helped me, God has just done marvelous things, that because he allowed me to go through bad experiences. Even this one experience I tell you that I shared it many times, that left an impact, great impact on me. That as a student in university, we were celebrating Easter, and I was tasked by leading a small group in to prepare for the service. Because we are South Sudanese students, so we find ourselves really strangers in the country. So we come together, whether you are a Catholic or something like that, and as long as you believe in Christ. So I was asked to decorate the hall. And so I led a small group of people. So I went to the shops and bought the right things. And so it was hot, you see, and we were climbing really ladders and things like that. And I was telling everybody, we sweeped and we just cleaned the place, prepare all the tables. And then we had the drama, everything finished. And then this guy who was a leader, you see, came and gave acknowledgement to all the people there who really participated and did everything, you see, and I was not even acknowledged. Some of them, most of them, they were given cards of thanks, you see, and everything like that. And I was not, you see. And I tell you what, that really devastated me. I couldn't just like that. It was just like a hell to me. And as I went really humiliated, really greatly humiliated, I just went away. And this man really, he noticed that. He came, he was doing engineering. His name was William. And he came after me and he said, Lam, the Lord will reward you. And I didn't think about that really. But when I came to know the Lord, and that single event changed my life, and became one of the most principle that I would want to build my life on these things. Not to look to any reward or even the acknowledgement from human, but to look to him, Jesus Christ. That would be the faith that he will be looking for. What is your faith among the faith that I have shared with you? Let us pray.